My name is Celeste from Catskill, New York, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
Altogether Now listens for feedback from the public. Anyone who wants to leave a public comment can call 518-291-9492 and leave an audio message up to 3 minutes with any sort of opinion about something you heard on All Together Now. You can also send emails to info@wgxc.org with opinions about what you hear here.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every Monday from 3:30 to 4, talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
Books we really, really love, books we want to read. Mm-hmm. Books we don't want to read, and other bookish things, and sometimes some other things that are maybe less bookish.
Yeah.
But usually bookish stuff.
Yeah.
And we're usually here with our friends Fahima Mashuda. They could sadly not join us this week, so we hope to see them next week. But yeah, as with our usual schedule, we're going to start off with a poem.
Mm-hmm. This one is called Nature Knows Its Math by Joan Graham. Divide the year into seasons, 4, subtract the snow and then add some more, green, a bud, a breeze, a whispering, behind the trees, and here beneath the rain-scrubbed sky, orange poppies multiply. It's divided up into lines very strangely. It was a bit hard to read.
Yeah, I always find it interesting reading poems when they're very strategically laid out.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels a bit awkward trying to read it, but then you hear the poet read it and it flows in a way that doesn't necessarily read how it looks, but maybe it's about the visual as much as the way it's read. But I like that throughout the poem, because it's nature knows its math, the words divide, subtract, add, and multiply are all in italics, so they stand out a little bit.
In that was cool. LA right now, we are reading some poems by Anne Bradstreet, who was a Puritan woman. And it was very unusual, even though Puritans like valued education a lot, it was unusual for a woman to write, so she was a bit unique in her time.
Do you like her poems?
Yeah, kinda.
Kind of. I was like, I wonder if we should read one of hers sometime. Maybe, maybe not.
Maybe.
Yeah. So I found that poem on...
They aren't that bad. Maybe it's the fact that we just have to read them over and over again and interpret them that makes them a bit annoying to me.
Well, not every poem's for every person.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, the Poetry Foundation on their website, poetryfoundation.org, has a lot of poems on there, but there was a section for poems for teens. It's a fun way of finding some poems that are a good fit for teen audiences.
That's cool.
Yeah. That was cool. So I'd never read this poem before, but I found it on there. I thought it was nice. Cool. So I wanted to also talk about some books that are coming out this week.
Ooh.
That I'm excited about. So one is the book Wild Card by Marie Lu, which is the second book in the Warcross series. And my understanding is it's a duology, so it's just two books in the series.
Huh.
So this is the finale. I mean, that's what it says in the description, too. So unless Marie Lu decides, I want to write one more, this should be it. But I've talked about this series on the show before. The first book is called Warcross, and it is the main character is a hacker who gets brought into this sort of virtual reality gaming scene as sort of a spy to, like, try to figure out some mystery that's going on. From within the game. So I don't want to say much about the series, what Wild Card is going to be about, because it would spoil the first book in the series. But if you're into Marie Lu action, sort of technology, adventure kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Marie Lu's a great writer, and it's fun. I at least liked the start of the series. We'll see about book two. Another book that's coming out tomorrow is called Unclaimed Baggage by Jen Dahl, and I'll read that description for you. Doris, a lone liberal in a conservative small town, has mostly kept to herself since the terrible waterslide incident a few years ago. Nell had to leave behind her best friend's perfect life and too good to be true boyfriend in Chicago to move to Alabama. Grant was the star quarterback and epitome of Mr. Popular, whose drinking problem has all but destroyed his life. What do these three have in common? A summer job working in a store called Unclaimed Baggage, cataloging and selling other people's lost luggage. Together they find that through friendship they can unpack some of their own emotional baggage and move on into the future.
Hmm.
So I thought that was a cool idea of a store.
It is.
And apparently it's based on a real store.
Oh.
Where stuff from people's unclaimed luggage is sold. And actually the author, Jen Dahl, has an event this weekend on Saturday, September 22nd in Woodstock at the Golden Notebook Bookstore, where she's going to be in conversation with our friend Jacinta Bunnell, who has been on our show before. She does some wonderful coloring books that we've talked about on the show before.
I love those complicated, like, mandala and fancy landscape coloring books.
Mm-hmm, those are fun.
I have a Jim Shore one with a ton of angels in it. And I've started coloring in it a lot because I'm starting to get into, like, the autumn and Christmas season spirit, so I started coloring in it a lot again.
That's cool.
They're very, very pretty, and I have no idea how they get all those little details there.
Fun times. Yeah, I don't know either. I've never designed a coloring book before.
Yeah.
But maybe Jacinta would have some answers for you, although her style isn't as sort of like mandala-y.
Yeah.
But she does have some, she does some elaborate sort of wallpaper designs in the backgrounds of her scenes, and so I bet she'd have some thoughts. So I have one other teen book I wanted to mention or read the description for. It's called The Good Demon by Jimmy Caholeas. I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but we'll go with it. It's also coming out tomorrow. And this one's sounds like a good one for the kind of coming fall Halloween season, where I need to pick my spooky book for the year to read. Because I like to read a spooky book around Halloween. So this one's called The Good Demon. The description goes, "It wasn't technically an exorcism, what they did to Claire. When the Reverend and his son ripped her demon from her, they called it a deliverance. But they didn't understand that Claire and her demon, known simply as her, were like sisters. She comforted Claire, made her feel brave, helped to ease her loneliness. They were each other's only. Now Claire's only comforts are the three clues that she left behind. Be nice to him. June 20th. Remember the stories. Claire will do anything to get her back, even if it means teaming up with the Reverend's son and scouring every inch of her small southern town for answers. But if she sacrifices everything to bring back her demon, what will be left of Claire?"
Ooh. I like that. That sounds very interesting.
Yeah.
Speaking of spooky stuff, I recently saw The Nun. Have you seen that yet?
No. I don't know if I'm going to see it. But did you enjoy it?
Yeah. It was pretty cool.
And that's a new movie?
That is a new
movie.
In
theaters new? Cool. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if the Conjuring series is ever going to end, actually.
Oh, it was a Conjuring one?
Yeah, it was like connected to the Warrens and the Annabelle movies as well.
We'll see. Maybe I'll see it.
Yeah.
So I have one more book to mention that's coming out tomorrow that's not at all spooky. And it's not a teen book. It's a picture book that I recently read called Time for Bed, Miyuki. It's by Roxanne Marie Galilee. And has illustrations by Sang-Soon Ratanavan. And it's from Princeton Architectural Press, which is a press that's located here in Hudson, which is cool. Shout out to our local press. And it's one of the most beautiful picture books I've ever read. It brought like tears to my eyes. It was so beautiful. The pictures are gorgeous. The writing is beautiful. It's a very simple story, but there's lots of like fantastical details in the drawings and in the story as well. But it's basically a girl named Miyuki, her grandfather telling her it's time for bed, and her telling him, like, but I have to do this first. And then he helps her do that. Aww. And then he says, it's time for, like, we've done that. It's time for bed now, Miyuki. And then she says, but we have to do this. And then they do that. And it keeps growing. And, you know, eventually it's time for bed. But it's just very creative and cute. I mean, some of the things are like, we have to gather the snails or...
Gather the snail.
There's, and she's sort of, it's sort of like a Thumbelina looking thing where she's smaller, like the snails are the same size as her.
Aww.
Or one of the things is that she wants to put a blanket on the cat, and the cat is huge, and she's like knitting a little rug for him.
Aww.
Or not rug, blanket for him. So it's just very sweet. I highly suggest you check it out, even if you're not a picture book reader, a child or a parent or a grandparent or a caregiver. There, it's worth a read. But so those all, I think all of those come out tomorrow. Tuesday's like a big book release day. That's when new books usually come out on Tuesdays. It's a good day, I guess.
Me and my parents have started buying little books for my little cousin Misha, like at the book fair and stuff, trying to see if there's anything she'd like.
Yeah, I actually bought Time for Bed, Miyuki for my niece who just had a birthday. So she'll be getting it today. I got her another one that she got on her birthday, but I was like, you get one more that's coming Tuesday. Yeah, it's fun buying books as gifts.
Yeah.
It's fun getting books as gifts, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I need to start making my Christmas wish list.
Oh, yeah?
Because if I wait
too... Do you have any that you know
are on
the
list? Because if I wait too long, I'm not going to be able to get as much stuff as I... as I want on it. I always wait too long, and then I'm like, oh, there was all this stuff I could have put on there, but it's after Christmas then. So I have to start earlier.
Do you know anything that's going to be on your list?
There's this show called Gravity Falls that basically centers around these journals, these twins, and this crazy town called Gravity Falls. And after the show ended, the guy who made the show helped publish the actual journals in book form. And I have the third one. I don't have the first two. So I'd like those. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if any other shows I watch have art books out, but last year I got the Steven Universe art book, which was really pretty and really cool. Probably some manga, because you always gotta have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Cool. Sounds fun.
But I'll probably come up with more as I think about it, but I might want to get another Marie Lou trilogy, like Legend.
Or Warcross.
Or Warcross.
So many options. Yeah, it's fun when you find an author that you like that has a lot of books. Because you've finished Young Elites, right? Or is the series over?
Oh, I finished Young Elites.
And the series is done?
Yeah, it felt very concluded. Final. I believe it is done. If it's not, then someone give me those books. But but I'm pretty sure it's done, unless she's written some extra stories or something.
Yeah, I should read those sometime. Do you have any books you've been reading recently?
I'm still reading. I'm still slowly making my way through If You Don't Have Anything Nice to Say. Not because I don't enjoy it, but because I'm starting to have less and less time to do stuff. I got dance classes. I got piano lessons.
Busy.
And I want to have time to just kind of chill, too, sometimes. So.
Sure. Well, I've read a few I could talk about. So I read, one of the books I read recently is called The Walls Around Us, and by Nova Rensuma, who lives somewhere in the Hudson Valley. I can't remember exactly where, but I know she's local, in quotes. And this one's a good, like, spooky, dark story, if you're into that kind of thing, that centers around two girls. One is a young dancer named Violet, who's sort of just about time for her to go off and live her dream of being a dancer, going to school for that. And the other is a young woman named Amber, who's in a juvenile detention center and been locked up for a very long time. Hasn't ever, you know, is kind of like stuck there. Like, she's probably not getting out anytime soon. And what ties these two together is a young woman named Oriana, who is also at the juvenile detention center. And when she was outside, was best friends with Violet, the dancer, and was also a very good dancer who had a bright future ahead of her. And so through the story, you kind of find out what happened on the outside that got Oriana inside. And there's like a few mysterious nights at the detention center that you kind of find out what happened through those. And it's very creepy and dark. I'm not used to reading books that are that dark. I don't know. Even some of the books that I read that are a little dark, it's sort of like anti-hero books where it's the characters aren't they're not necessarily like upstanding citizens, but you're able to root for them because they have some goodness in them.
Of a book I read a while back, and I'm currently Googling to see if called Lockdown, which is about this society that after a summer where juvenile crime went crazy, basically called the Summer of Slaughter, where a bunch of young gangs murdered quite a few people, they no longer have any tolerance for juvenile delinquency, so they put all kids who committed a crime in a underground jail called the Furnace.
I've heard of this book. I haven't read it.
And this boy is framed for his parents' murder by one of the by the freaky guards they have down at the Furnace, which are like guys with gas masks on. These men who look like Frankenstein's monsters, but like they're specially engineered to be extremely strong. The suits, like the gas masks, and there are some other things. And every night while he's down here in this underground prison, something happens where the gas masks come and take boys from their cells and the boys never come back and no one knows what's happening to them. I only read the first book in the series. There are four others, as I look at it right now on Google, I realize there are four others. And I remember reading that in maybe 7th grade, and I just never continued with it, because I don't think all the books were out back in 7th grade, actually. Some of these look like brand new. It's by a guy named Alexander Gordon Smith.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never read that series, but I heard good reviews about it when it came out, the first one. I didn't realize it was a four-part series.
I only remember one distinct thing about it, being that in the back they had a little author Q&A section. The author said he was a fan of Doctor Who, and I thought that was interesting because the gas mask creature, like on the front of his first book, looks like a lot like one of the aliens or the creatures from Doctor Who, which all have gas masks also. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Amelia's wearing a Doctor Who shirt right now, by the way.
I am wearing a Doctor Who shirt. I didn't realize I was, but I just didn't
coincidence.
Now.
Awesome. So another book I read recently, I received a free download of it during the summer audio sync program, which I think I've talked about on the show. Every year there's this program that you can sign up to get, you know, I get like a text every time the new ones are released, but it's like every week two free audiobooks are released, that have some theme in common. And usually it's a teen book and another book that's maybe nonfiction or maybe an adult book that works well for teens, or maybe it's a classic. And so one of the ones I downloaded this summer, I finally got around to listening to, is called Girls Like Us by Gail Giles, which I think they read in one of the classes at school. I feel like people have talked about it maybe on the show before, but I might be remembering wrong. But it's a fast read. I think the audiobook was maybe in 5 parts or 6 parts, you know, so just like 5 or 6 hours. And it's about two girls who have just both graduated from their high school special ed program, and it's about them sort of entering the adult world and entering it together. They didn't feel like they weren't really connected in high school. They weren't like best friends or anything. They were just both in the same program, and were very different in many ways, but they get thrown together to live together in an apartment, as they sort of transition into adult life, into working and living in a home and running a home. And so it's a nice story about these two young women and sort of how they come together and find things that they do have in common, and sort of find their place in the world. So it's short, but it like packs a lot into it.
That's nice.
It's a nice story. Yeah. So I'm glad I finally got to read that. And then the other book that I read this week that was a teen book is sort of a historical fiction book with some like fantasy or magic realism thrown into it. So it's called The Game of Love and Death. It's by Martha Brockenbrough. And so it's set in the 1930s. And the main characters are a young African-American woman named Flora, who's a female pilot. And she dreams of sort of being the next Amelia Earhart. And she also sings in a jazz club in Seattle at night, that she's a part owner of. And then there's a young man named Henry Bishop, who's a young white man, who was adopted by a wealthy family, who works in publishing. And so he's sort of friends, adoptive brotherish with the son of that family. And the two, Flora and Henry, meet, and they have sort of a Romeo and Juliet style romance of, you know, it's sort of will they or won't they make it through with all that's going on during this time period. But on top of that, because it's a historical fiction, but the magic realism part comes into play with love and death. And love and death as these two sort of characters who play this game where over, you know, centuries they set these rules, they roll the dice, and they sort of like they pick their champions. and one of them wins the game.
Oh, that's
and,
really cool.
And death sort of always wins the game. So, like, the question is, will they win the game this time or not?
That's cool that
so
they
they've
made
chosen
the
Henry and Flora as their champions.
That is cool that they made, like, Love and Death, like characters.
Yeah,
like,
so it's that adds a little different element into it. So it's historical fiction, but if you're not that into, like, very specifically historical fiction novel, it adds a little twist to it, a little fantasy.
So I do love fantasy.
Yeah. So I thought it was an interesting element. And it was fun. I listened to the audiobook, and because Flora is a singer, every once in a while there is just a song in it. Like, a not a huge full song, but apparently in the book there's lyrics of songs, and so they, when they produced the audiobook, they sang the songs.
It's really interesting.
And I think they're original songs, so I don't know if the author, like, actually wrote the tune, or if the producers did it, or if the reader just did it. I'm not sure. But I thought that was interesting.
The way they personify Love and Death reminds me of, like, this movie that was out a while ago. I don't know if it was a TV movie or a straight-to-DVD movie, but it was called The Book of Life. Do you know it? It's about, like,
I don't think so.
It sounds like Coco from Disney, but it's not, because this came
out
before.
It's an animation.
This came out before,
right?
Coco. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's an animation, all puppet-like and Tim Burton-ish eyes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where these two gods of death, like the god of the forgotten and the god of the dead, they're two different things in, like, Mexican folklore, I guess. Decide to play a game where there is one, where they bet on which of these two guys will win this lady's heart in adulthood, and basically they kind of start doing stuff to try and trip up the other boy. It's weird. It's such a weird movie. It is very, very similar.
Yeah, I never saw,
like,
that
just
one.
Visually, it's, like, similar to Coco, but the story is, like, nothing like Coco, and I remember, like, thinking they seemed very similar.
Awesome.
I like that movie. It's like a musical. I love it a lot.
Have to
but
check
not many
that
people
one
know what it is, and that makes me sad.
I realized before we sign off for the today, I also wanted to note, because we noted books that are coming out this week, but there's also a show coming out this week on Netflix on, I believe it's Saturday, called Hilda, which is based on the kids' comic series by Luke Pearson called Hilda, which is about a young woman who is sort of an adventurer and, like, makes friends with all the interesting creatures out in the land. and it's, I haven't seen the show yet, obviously, because it's not out, but the comics are so much fun. So I'm hopeful for this series, but I'm also a little nervous.
I saw the trailer for this. It looks really cute.
It looks
so adorable.
But people should definitely check out those comics. I'm also not sure if the show is going to tell any of the stories from the comics or if it's sort of brand new. But it should be fun.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're into fun kids fantasy, check it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're going to hand it off to the afternoon show now, but we hope everyone has a wonderful week and reads lots of good books.
Bye.
Have a good week. Happy reading.
असली पहले पाके ओ पलम तोड़ दे भरम छोड़ दे घबराना बजाए तू ये दूर से हॉर्न क्या दिल के सारे बटन खोल दे खोल के बोल दे सहम रही हो ना बता दे तेरा आज है प्लान क्या
बिजली भी गिरवानी है फायर भी लगवानी है जो तू आके बेबी हमारे साथ मां
आ आ आ आ के
कमरिया
Dale.